Well, this morning, we're going to go back again in our teaching. I was talking in the areas of prayer, praying for our nation. We passed two Sundays. We talked about it. There's some things I want to talk about this morning concerning prayer. And the big thing that I've been dealing with on prayer is from the side of our attitude, our understanding God, our understanding His character, and our approach to Him in prayer. And we need to know this is by... A lot of people know about asking God for things, but a lot of people really don't know the character of God. They don't know what He's like. They don't really know how to communicate with Him. They communicate with God like He's a stranger. It's like going down to your banker and trying to get money out of Him. And many times people are dealing with God in the same way. They look at God and they don't know His character. They don't know His willingness about things. They don't realize how compassionate He is, how merciful He is. They don't approach Him with that from that standpoint. They approach Him about, you know, really on the basis of my works. It's sort of like going down the bank. You got to make sure you have a good enough job. You can make enough money because they're going to check you out on this stuff and find out if I can pay for this thing. And most people are doing that's their prayer life. And people wonder why their prayers don't get answered. They wonder why things aren't working. It's because they're not approaching God according to the Scriptures, according to His character, according to what the Word tells us He's like. He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And I found this out in my Christian walk, and I've talked about it before. You get bold toward God, and people start backing off from you. Well, you're getting a little bit out there weird. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get my prayers answered. People can play their religious game and do whatever they want, but I'd rather get my prayers answered. Because I found this out in Scripture that God's glorified when I do. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, if you're just trying to glorify God just through going through worship services, you're missing at least 60% of worship. A good part of our worship is to God, and our glorification of God is getting our prayers answered. No church is just trying to glorify God through their worship services. That ain't enough. We glorify God, it says in John 15, by getting our prayers answered. That glorifies God. So if I want to give glory to God and see God glorified in the earth, then I want my prayers to be answered. And, what good would it be? Would it glorify God and really impress people if God, every time I prayed, He said no? Well, that's one of the reasons why as a young boy, I didn't really have nothing to do with God because all the nonsense they talked about Him didn't glorify me. I didn't see any need to want to follow Him. What I want to follow Him for, I always thought people who followed Him were idiots. Most of them were. Because they followed somebody who they thought was bad. Somebody didn't answer your prayer. Somebody killed your kids. Somebody made you sick. Somebody did. And they said, oh, come and follow Him. We love Him. Okay. Say, no, I'm not following Him. Hallelujah. But our God is compassionate. He's merciful. And we use some scriptures going into this. We talked about in Ezekiel, and I'm going to go just remind us again about those because we want to look at the character of God, what God's doing. We're in an earth. Today, the world is in huge trouble. We're in huge dilemma in this world. You know, we're on the brink of, of really world bankruptcy. World bankruptcy. And understand this, there's a lot of people going to suffer through this thing. If things don't change, if the devil has his way, it'll go to its fullness. I don't want to be like some of these Christians. Well, I'll tell you, we just need to go under, then we'll learn a good lesson. I'm going to tell you what. What did people learn from the Depression? They don't want to go there again. That's what they learned. Is the whole thing of it is a lot of people suffered because people, the church world in general didn't know what's going on, didn't know what to do about it. Most of the Christians suffered as much as the world suffered. They had no faith in God. You need to understand it's the same thing today. You can't get your faith working now. Do you think it's going to all of a sudden just work when you're in the middle of a big trouble? Well, now hold it, you know. People really act strange. So, I ain't back out there saying, yeah, I'll tell you, let's let it go under and let's all suffer real good. I'll tell you, that'll surely glorify God. Okay. Well, praise God. But God, we found in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, it talked to the beginning that we read in there, verses 22 down through 29 talked really about the dilemma that the people were in, not walking with God from the leaders to the priests. It was a mess. They're everybody's really living in sin. Everybody's doing their own thing. But it said in verse 30, this is God speaking, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." He didn't find. In other words, here this dilemma's going on. This thing's happening. But God was looking for somebody to stand in the gap. God's looking for somebody that He can get a hold of so He doesn't have to do this. So this doesn't have to take place. In other words, to stay off judgment. This is what God is interested in doing. God's not interested. The day's going to come that God's going to carry judgment out. It has to. It has to come to that place. He's a righteous God, and it will. But I'll tell you what, we can get God to stay off things and to hold it back. You know, and we want to do that. Hezekiah, God told him, because you know what he was doing was right. He said he was going to hold judgment back. It wouldn't come in his generation. It was due for his generation because of what the kings before him had done in their ungodliness. And judgment was supposed to be falling on the land. But here's a guy who came along, started walking right, got doing right before God. And God goes, "Okay, you're doing what's right. I'm going to hold it off. It ain't going to come now." Well, I'll tell you what, that was a nice thing, wasn't it? Hallelujah. God was looking for somebody to stand in the gap, and He found somebody to stand in the gap. God didn't want to bring judgment, so we know this. You know this about the character of God. God doesn't want things to... He doesn't want to just see judgment take place. We may see certain amounts of judgment, but I will tell you, we can hold off a number of things that will come if the church doesn't make its stand. They will come. If the church doesn't put a block to it, it will come. It'll come. It'll happen. But it isn't what God wants to do. It's not what God wants to do. Because God's seeking for somebody to stand in the gap. And then we read from Isaiah 43 in verses 25 and 26, which says, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." I'm going to tell you, that's good news. Hallelujah. See, that's what God... We see the fulfillment of that in Jesus Christ. The fulfillment. God's not remembering our sins anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what He did. Hallelujah. We got born again. But He says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted." And we read that from the Bible in basic English. It says, "Put me in remembrance of this. Let us take up the cause between us. Put forward your cause so that you may be seen to be in the right." The Amplified says, "Put me in remembrance, remind me of your merits. Let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case that you may be justified, proven right." So God, what does He say? So really, God wouldn't be making this statement here. In other words, God says, "Look, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins so you can come to me. We can plead a case out." Now, do you ever think about that? We may have missed the mark, deserve something, deserve, you know, what we got, what's coming to us. But because He forgives our sins, now I got a case to stand before Him. See, if I've got sin, I may not have a case to stand before Him. But if He forgives my sin, you know, it's just like it tells us over in James concerning healing. It tells you the person, is there any sick among you? Call the elders of the church, they'll pray over him in the name of the Lord, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, the Lord will raise them up. If they committed any sin, he'll forgive them. In other words, a person could be sick because of sin. God said, "Hey, you come and do this, I'll forgive you and heal you." Hallelujah. See, this is the character of God. See, many people are waiting and waiting. God said He forgives our sin for His sake. He didn't say, "I forgave you because you deserved it." Or, "I'm forgiving you because..." He said, "I'm doing this because I want to. This is for me. This is what makes me happy. This is what I like to do." That's why He does it. He does it because that's His character. And so, you and I are to approach God on that basis. You and I are to approach God like, "He's glad to forgive me of my sin." He wants to do this. He does it for His sake. He does it so He can fellowship with me. He does those things for... He does it for His namesake. He's carrying it out. So we have there... So we can come to God. We can plead our case. Hallelujah. God's telling us, man in the earth, you're in this earth and you have authority here. If we don't become the lawyers in a sense and plead the case, this is why you got to learn what the Bible says. You got to learn the Word. If you don't bother studying the Word, right now there's good teaching and there's bad teaching. There's a lot of fluff teaching. There's a lot of stuff that I would say is in the class of, definitely milk. It's definitely milk. And you know what? That's what most Christians, even Spirit-filled Christians, are wanting to feed on all the time. You know, it's about time you get out of grade school. It's about time you get out of high school. It's about time you graduate from college. It's about time. There's no reason that people are Christians for years and years on end and haven't got a degree. We got to know the Word well enough that we become lawyers. You know, a guy doesn't become a lawyer because he went through grade school. He's come to the place where he knows law well enough that he can turn around and he can plead cases before the court. We need to know the Word well enough that we can plead cases before God. That we can take the merits of the things that the Word says and present them to God, bring them to God, present them to Him on what His Word says, so we can get some things done. Because, there's many things you're not going to get done just because you confess some scripture. You know, I can believe God for concerning healing and things. You want to turn a nation around, you ain't going to do it on, going to church once in a while, making a little confession about the nation and everything and going home and just go live your own life. Forget it. It ain't happening. Because there's more opposition in the spirit than you have a clue of. We got to get God in the move of this thing. And we're the people on this side that have to make the case on this thing. And God wants us to make the case. God wants a people that will stand up that can give Him the legal right to carry out what needs to be done. I don't care how emotionally, it doesn't matter how you feel about it, and things are going bad and we just have to get something done. If a lawyer walked in front of a judge today and whined and cried, the judge would probably end up kicking him out of court. Because why? You got to have legal precedence. You got to have, and this is what God, come and plead your case. We looked at the pleading of cases. We looked at Moses in this pleading of case. What did he do? He threw right up to, he threw, number one, he threw downright good logic in God's face is why are you heading this way? This ain't going to work out for your benefit. Now that's like walking up and, slipping the judge some money almost, that's almost what it's like. He walked up and said, hey bud, we like you. Do what you do. He tells God, understand this. If you're going to plead a case, if you want to come before God, you got to be hooking up with Him. You're not in opposition to Him. See, many people, when they're praying for something, this is why it don't work. They're praying like God's holding out. No, I am a lawyer on God's side and on man's side. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was on God's side and He was on man's side. He's the guy in between. He's working for both. Because God is working for the good of humanity. That's what He's doing. He's working for the good. God's not working against humanity. That's why intercession was this thing of trying to get God to do what He really didn't want to do. That's why it don't work. That's why a lot of this intercession stuff, we're just trying to beat God on the head to get off the throne because He ain't doing nothing. He's up there dozing all the time. He's an old grandpa with a long beard and stuff, and he's sitting up there and. And he really don't like us. He saved us anyhow. Those old dirty things and religion sort of treats it that way. And so we're like, God is holding out. God is the one. He just can't wait to get down here to fry the whole bunch. He's just mad because all the ugly that's going on. I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing ugly that happens today that God didn't know would happen. And He still redeemed man. He still redeemed man. And so, we're the body of Christ. Understand this. We take Christ's place. That's our job. Our job is to take Christ's place to stand between the lost. That's why we're priests of God. If we're a priest, you're not a priest for your good. The priest did not minister to himself. You don't have a priesthood to minister to you. We're priests to minister on the behalf of others. The priest of the Old Testament stood between God and man. And that's what we do. Jesus is the high priest. We stand between God and man. God wants to bless man. We're the people that stand in the why? To bring that together so God blesses man. Jesus became the high priest. He stood between God and man and got the blessing of God on man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God didn't have a reason to fry everybody up to that point, there never was a good reason. But God didn't. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. He sent him. Jesus was high priest, and he stood in the realm of priest and stood between men and God and joined God together. And because of what he did, the apostle Paul wrote and said, you've got to tell the world there's no more enmity between God and man anymore. You've got to tell people this. Oh, we don't tell them today. You've got to ask Jesus to forgive you. That isn't what the Bible says. See, they're acting like we still need a priest. We just still need a priest. Because people don't know, the church don't know the character of God. We don't know how to approach him. We don't know how to tell men how to approach him. We approach him like you got to watch him, man. You'll get fried you get near him. Well, if you did, why would he tell me to come boldly to the throne of grace? They're not just nice words in a page to say about so we can say, isn't he something? These are true words that you and I can do, come boldly to the throne of grace. We can walk in and say, God, I got a case. I got a case here, God. I got a case. See, this is why it's knowing what the Word says. If you know what the Word says, you got a case. Hallelujah. What always happens with lawyers? Lawyers come in, they've got a case. What do? They look for legal precedents. They look for legal precedents. I'm going to tell you what, I can go all through the Scriptures. I've stood before God already on behalf of people, and I said, God, you see in the Word what they were doing and you blessed them? You see, you forgave them and blessed them? These folks ain't done near that bad. Now, Lord, surely you'll bless these people I'm talking about. Surely you'll do something to help here, won't you? You're looking for legal precedents. That's why you got to know the Word. You got to know the Word. And you look in the Word, and in the Word, you find legal precedents to come before God. Most people, they're looking for the judgment. That's what, oh yeah, let's find, that's the legal precedent. Let's kill them, Lord. Let's fry them all. It's time now. No, look through to find the mercy. And say, God, I'm not going to argue with you that they don't deserve to be fried. I'm not going to argue with you from that point. Because, Lord, they do. But, Lord, I know you. And Lord, there's so much more said about your compassion and about your mercy and your loving kindness in the Scriptures than is spoken about judgment. And Lord, it says you don't take any pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. You're so kind, you're so merciful, you're so loving. Hallelujah. See, if you want to plead your case, you got to know what's going on. You go to the Scriptures, bring God's... God, this is your character, this is the way you are. See, remember last week we talked about Abraham? Abraham knew God well enough to say to him, you wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. That's far from you. In other words, that ain't even a thought of yours, God. That's far from you to do anything like that, destroy the righteous with the wicked. You wouldn't do that. You see, he knew him. He knew what he was like. And so he approached God in that manner. And see, that's with us. No, we got to know him. We got to know him. Know his character. Know what he's like. We can't try to approach him on our great abilities or the things we've done or our righteousness. You can't come in that. We can walk in. Lord, I can approach you. I can come boldly by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I'm not standing in your presence on my merit. I'm standing in here because of your great kindness and your great mercy. And I'm allowed to. You gave me a voice here. If you didn't want me to talk, you shouldn't have gave me a voice. But you gave me a voice here. You've declared it. So Lord God, I can stand in your presence and I can come to you and I know you're going to hear me. You're going to listen to me. Hallelujah. See, the Bible tells us the confidence that we have in him is because we know that if we know we pray, we know he hears us. We know we hear. Why? Because if we ask anything according to his will. So if I come and I have a basis of my approach in the Word of God, I have that basis of approach, it's in the Word of God. I'll tell you, I got legal standing. I can come to God, now we can plead together. You need to understand, if you know the Word, there's many things that God will do for humanity just because we ask. Because we ask. You know, it's like the Lord told me, you know, and I've used the example concerning Wanda's grandfather. The Spirit of the Lord told me, He said, He has no right to ask me for what you're asking for. But the Lord said to me, He said, but I'm going to do this because you ask me. I'll do it for you. See, people don't know God that well, and we need to learn how God is. We need to make Him, people talk about a personal relationship. Well, a personal relationship, you can have none of that with anybody unless you know them. Unless you know how to commune with them and talk with them. And I've said before, we commune or talk with people on the basis of how much we know them. And if you don't know a person very well, you know, it's like I wouldn't walk up to Mike and Darlene and start talking about their personal relationship between each other to find answers or stuff, not knowing them. I mean, it would have to be somebody who would personally know them and they'd know each other well that you can speak certain things to people's lives. You couldn't just generally just go do that. And see, this is people today. They don't, many people don't really know God. They don't know what it's like. You know, they're sort of like the Christianity I was raised in. It was always stand off from God. You know, He's a God of fire. He's got lightning bolts and He's got stuff. And He's, you know, it's like, my words, don't make Him mad. You're in trouble. You know, and so people have that. Well, you know that they don't approach God with any kind of confidence. They don't think you can. They don't think you can ask anything according to His will. Those things have been blotted out in the Scriptures. They don't go in their Bible and knock it out, but in their mind, it's blotted. It's blotted. And so we need to know that God's calling us. He's calling us to come and to stand in this place concerning our nation. Coming to stand and understand. But these principles work, you know, to plead with God for not just our nation, but, you know, you could plead for other people. There's different things you need to learn. There's a difference between pleading for a sinner and pleading for somebody who's a saint. You can come up and stand in the gap. You know, you need to learn this. And I thank God for Kenneth Hagin's teaching in that area. I've learned over the years. I pray for a saint. I'm praying for somebody who has a covenant. My case is pleaded on the basis of covenant. Now, when you're praying for a sinner, they don't have a legal right per se, like for things. But you stand in a place to ask. They don't in the place to ask. Now, they can ask and be born again. They can do that and come into the kingdom. And once they're under the covenant, they have rights that under that covenant. You know, it's just like, you know, living in one nation and you live in a nation, you have rights under that nation. You're not supposedly have them in other, except America here. You know, you can come from any nation in the world, walk in our door, now you have all the rights of America. You know, an absolutely nuts, most crazy, stupid thing that ever happened. But it would take politicians to figure that one out. I don't think anybody in the sane mind would ever even consider such a thing. But, you know, we need to understand it. But under the kingdom of God, once that person comes into the kingdom, now what is in that kingdom, that belongs to them. They are children of that kingdom. They are birthed in that kingdom. So they're under it. And pray for Christians in that way. Don't take Christians and pray for Christians before God like they're sinners. You ain't going to win any cases like that. See, that's why you have to know the Bible. And so always treat, you know, always treat a saint like a saint with God. Hallelujah. Maybe they've messed up. Maybe they don't deserve good. But nonetheless, they're a child of God. And you pray for them in that same manner. But we were talking about, we weren't praying for our nation. There's some things I want us to look at here is because we can see something about the heart of God. I want you to turn to James, the fifth chapter. In James, the fifth chapter, I want to read something to you. James, the fourth chapter, sort of back up here a little bit. James, the fourth chapter, really, James is really doing some correction concerning these believers. And he's basically talking to Jewish believers, but nonetheless, it's believers. And he's doing some correction because they're out of line with things. And he's telling them why they don't get their prayers answered, why things aren't working. He's correcting them on these things. He's telling them that, you know, that they don't have stuff because they didn't ask. And when they do ask, they ask amiss because they're asking amiss. It's their attitude. They're asking things from God just to consume them on their own lust. In other words, they're not walking in love with other people. They're not, you know, they don't see the need for others. I do, and I'm sad to say, there's many Christians today only walk as a Christian for their own good. That's the only reason they live the Christian life. It's just for my own good. Hallelujah. Well, I learned this a long time ago. Christianity will take care of me and others. So I don't have to be selfish about it. There's not anything I got to be selfish about. And let me tell you, it will limit your Christian walk. It will limit your prayer life. It will limit what God can do for you if you're just a Christian asking always for you. And everything is just for you and for what you want, your needs, your things. If you're there, I'll guarantee you, you're going to be very, very limited. You're not going to see. Because, it's everything. The principle of give and it shall be given unto you is in everything. I pray for others' blessings. I'm going to tell you what, there's lots. I'm serious. And you folks would be shocked how little I pray about me. How little I ask God about me for stuff. Get other people's stuff. God gives you things. Get other people's stuff. Get other people's things. Get other people's, get blessing. Make sure they get blessed. Hallelujah. Most people just waste too much time on it. They waste too much time praying for them. Man, I'm in the kingdom. I'm taken care of. My God loves me. Hallelujah. He put me here to bless. And so you pray so others get blessed. I want you folks to prosper. I want you to be in health. Hallelujah. That's what I want. A huge part of my reward is your blessing. Your blessing is my reward. Hallelujah. See, if you don't see that in people, when other people are getting blessed, that's my reward. See, the word's a working. Hallelujah. Preaching the word, it's a working. Glory to God. The word's getting in them and it's a working. And they're being blessed. That's what you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give and it shall be given unto you. Ain't nothing makes me happier than that. To see the word working in somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's what you want. And so, we got to get off this sort of merry-go-round. Now, this is why I said those things, because coming over in the fifth chapter, I want you to listen, because we're going to start the first verse, because this is not just a world thing. This is what he's dealing with the church too. This is a letter to the church. And he's writing to them because, and this, understand, we're going to be talking about people wealth-wise, and people misread this stuff, and he's not knocking wealth. This is the whole thing. He's dealing with people's attitudes about stuff. And this could be anybody. This can be anyone. He starts off, he says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. And their corrosion will be witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days." So he's talking about, people. And we even see this in church. It's a wonderful thing. Thank God. I was so glad to hear the prosperity message. I was so glad to hear that. And that has surely blessed my life. It surely has helped me. But I've watched people carry it off in the wrong way. And all they're interested in is making bucks. And they ain't no more interested about what God's doing. They play a good religious game. People play a wonderful, wonderful religious game. One of the churches in the book of Revelation, which is a picture of the end time church, is people, we got everything, we're all right, everything's good. He said, you don't realize that you're naked. You don't realize, in other words, spiritually, you don't know how dead you really are. Spiritually dead. Well, see, now understand this. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So it says the love of money. In other words, you can have money and not love it. There's people out here that have huge wealth, and they don't love it. They don't love their money. They aren't driven by their money. They're driven by God. They follow God. They're a blessing. So he's talking because this hasn't changed from the fourth verse. He's dealing with people's attitudes about what they're doing. Not living right. Not walking right. And so he says here, indeed the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, you kept back by fraud. Cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reach the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Actually, that isn't the Lord of the Sabbath. That should be translated Lord of the Armies. It's the Lord of Hosts is what it is. It's the Lord of Hosts. That's the Lord of Armies. In other words, it's called by God's Amnesty. This has fallen on the ears of God's armies. Woo! Not good that the angels may not like what you're doing. Not good, folks! That wouldn't be. You don't want the Lord of the army saying, "Hey boys, hey army." Now he said, "What?" He's talking about people. There's things that we owe. There's things that we owe. He talks about. He talked here about the reapers. That, in other words, he's not paying. He's not giving to whom he should be giving to. In other words, he's not paying for it. It's one of the things that we can look at this in is from the spiritual side of it. There's people out here that are reapers that God sends out in that stuff, people that need to be supported. We support missionaries. Why do we do it? Because they're reapers that are sent out into areas. It is our obligation. If we're holding money back from them, it's going to cost you. You don't. God's watching. God's watching. Are we holding back? Are we holding back from our giving? Do we hold back? See, don't do that. Don't hold back. Follow what God's telling you to do. Walk in line, and I'll tell you, God's blessing. If you want God's blessing, and I want the blessing. Hallelujah. Well, see, I don't want to be caught in that thing there. Well, I'm taking care of me. You know, I'm taking care of me. We have an obligation. We have obligations to things, to do them, to bless. And so we want to follow them. We don't want to be in that area. It says, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Some translations, in the day of destruction. It says, you have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Man, this is some tough stuff, said these folks. But now, I want you to see something. Listen what is written here. Because, see, you can see this on Christian side. You can see this on world side today. Look, our economic system is messed up is because of this kind of stuff going on. This is what's happened. This is what's brought this to pass. And you know what? There's Christians been involved in it, too. They're in much fault as the world has been in this stuff because they play the same game. They're playing the same game. You don't want to play the same game. You don't want to do it. But now I want you to see this. Listen, here's God. And this is why you need to see the character of God. In the middle of all this, James writes, and is this, and you know, we have to decide, is this God talking or are we just, you know, James had pizza and, you know, got a dream and he just said this stuff. I don't know, you know, or, you know, we had too much of something. But he said, listen to this. Now, he tells us something. Now, this says, this is what's going on. This is the kind of thing that's happening out here. This is what's taking place. Then he said, therefore, be patient, brother. In other words, don't get thrown by this stuff. Don't get thrown by what you see going on out here. Don't you get thrown by what people are doing wrong. You be patient. James is talking about the end times. And we're going to find he's talking about the return of Christ. In other words, and I believe we're living in that day. If we're living in that day, then this is relevant. This is relevant to me right now to what I do. This speaks to me right now. Right now, this is what the church ought to be. We ought to be patient. The church shouldn't be push, 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 push. You know, we've got to get this fixed. We've got to make that. Right now is time of patience. I want you to understand because we need to hear from heaven. We get put. I know how it is. I get push, push, push. I don't hear from heaven. These are the days to hear from heaven. You need to hear from heaven. Today's the day of patience. Today's not the day of worry or how do I fix everything. I'm going to tell you what. If God don't move, you can do all you want and it will not get fixed. We need God moving. And he says, be patient. Now, in the middle of all this stuff, now there's all these things wrong and they're doing wrong. They're cheating people. They're doing things. What we need to do is get the vote out. What we need to do is get God out. Because I'm going to tell you what, if we don't get God out, the vote will make no difference. The same junk is going to go on. Same junk. So, we're in this time now. And so, let's you and I all of a sudden hit those brakes. You know, let's bring this thing to a slowdown. Hallelujah. Let's bring some things to a slowdown. We need to hear from God. He said, therefore be patient, what? Until the coming of the Lord. So, from now on out, what should our walk be? In patience. Patience also is sometimes called long suffering. What you and I are supposed to do? We're supposed to walk along. We're not supposed to be in this big rush. The Lord's coming back. It's time to be flowing in the things of the Spirit. It's time to be in communication with the Spirit. It's time to know the things of the Spirit. See, people, look, the Bible tells us the things that will be going on in the earth. He didn't tell us, the Bible doesn't tell us what it's going to be like in the last days so you can wring your hands. That's all I heard when I was a Christian. They always talked about how awful it was going to be. They never talked about this kind of stuff. I always talked about, all they did is made people afraid. They just made people afraid. You know, I want to tell you, you might have to bring some fear to the sinner. But I'm going to tell you, we shouldn't. You don't got to scare Christians in. You'll scare them out. You'll get them over where they don't think salvation's good enough to take them in. And after a while, they'll think, well, my works are so bad, I'll just forget it. I might as well just forget this thing. So let's walk in line of the Word. He says, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. And then he says this. Look what he says. Now, to the coming of the Lord. Now, and we believe, well, I tell you, I totally believe. We're in this timetable. Hallelujah. But now listen what he goes on and says. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth? Waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. In other words, God's given us a revelation here in this. He uses the farmer. He uses the farmer. See, Jesus constantly, when he ministered, he talked about, you know, seed and plant and harvest. Because it's based on timing. Timing. Timing's everything. I was talking to Mike about that this morning. Timing's everything. There's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. See, some people, you know, I see people do this. They come along and they're trying to reap, but they've never sown a crop. They've never sown the crop, and they're trying to reap. They're trying to reap something they haven't sown. I've seen people in that stuff, and they've sown, but they ain't never reaping. When reaping time comes, they don't know. They're walking around, you know, still looking for a place to sow again. There's nothing matter with sowing. See, I want to tell you something. Sometimes I don't like what sometimes the ministries do, because sometimes to get money, oh man, you just got to sow. They'd do a lot better if they teach people how to reap. It says sow all the time, but I mean, it's good if you want to get money in your pocket, but it don't help the people. There's timings to reap. There's times, and that timing comes, and see, if you're out here in sowing, so knowing, now he says, now watch the farmer. The farmer is going to be at a place of patience. In other words, that farmer puts it in. That farmer, the farmer must understand the timing of seed till it develops up into a stalk, until the grain gets on the stalk. But that there, just because the grain starts coming on a stalk, that don't mean harvest time. There's a time. I mean, today, I mean, they've learned with harvesting. I mean, they go out and they test the grain to make sure the moistures are right and everything falls on. In other words, that farmer is always examining. He's patient. He don't turn around and say, look, let's get this out of the field quick. He could lose huge amounts of money not being patient, not waiting. Although, man, he might come to think, I need money. You know, it's sort of like the people did. Did you ever notice that they have these big lottery things out here, and these people win the lotteries, and they're so impatient. They can't wait for the years to get the money. No, we're going to take what we can, give half of it stays in the thing, and they take it. Why? This is America. Impatience. You know, I ain't going to live long enough to get the rest of it. So, they're confessing they're going to die, so don't be surprised they croak. They acted upon what they believe. I got to take it. I got to get all I can right now and just do it. Impatience. See, if the farmers operated like that, you and I'd be eating chemicals probably, because there wouldn't be no food out here. They'd just be trying to make things out of, you know, stuff and wood fiber and everything else. I tell you what, just trying to get it together, stick it together, put some vitamins in it, let you eat it. But see, so here we have this illustration is given. In other words, we're in a time here, and it has to do with patience. In other words, the farmer is going to reap. He's going to get a harvest. We're in the days and time, there's a harvest. Now, I want you to see about the Father. What's our Father like? It illustrates that our Father's like this. What's He waiting for? God, Father's waiting for the fruit of the earth. He's waiting. This is about people. It ain't about stuff. It's people. God's not moved about what's going on. If God was moved because of what's happening, He'd have thrown in the towel and burnt the place. But He's not. God is being patient in this time, waiting for the fruit of the earth. That's what He wants. God wants a greater harvest. God is not going to be moved till it's had the early rain and the latter rain. He's not going to get scared of maybe a drought comes. Let's get what we can and run. It looks like it's been drought, don't it? Looks like it's been drought. Looks like there's been a lot of drought. But I want to tell you, hallelujah, God is not moved. He will not make His move till the latter rain is completely poured out. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. God is in the people business. He's in the people business. And he looks into this earth and he sees the fruit of this earth. And God is interested in saving people. God wants to take as many out as he can. And so I want you to see this about him. And this is why as we come, when we approach him concerning our nation and concerning the people of this world, when we approach God, we can approach him and say, Lord, you're a God. You've patiently waited. You're after people. Lord, I know you want to hear me talk to you about this. I know you want me to come. This is why you want me to come boldly to the throne of grace. You have a plan. And Lord God, see, the Bible says in the time of the latter rain, we're supposed to be praying for rain. Would he tell me to pray for rain? He ain't going to send it. You see, let me say this to you. You may know the scriptures, but do you really believe it's true? Will you respond in faith to it? Because if you don't, you can pray all you want. But you got to pray like it's working. You got to pray like God's hearing you and like God's responding to you. If you pray and then you're just waiting to see if God will ever say anything to you, you have not operated in faith yet. Don't be surprised he never says anything. God's moved by faith. If you want to get God to move, you start talking these things to God and believing he's going to speak to you about it. He's going to show you what he wants. He's going to start revealing things. He'll do what you ask. Hallelujah. See, these things I know I can get a response from God on. These things I know because they're stated in Scripture specifically. And God will never go back on his word. He'll never go back on his word. See, this is why we got to look. We got to see things. We need revelation from heaven. We got to know our Father, that we're approaching him in a way that we're just so confident. You know, if you took somebody, you took a lawyer and he's presenting a case and he got a jury sitting there, and you got a lawyer there who's really bold and really, you know, confident about what he knows about the law, and you got this other guy and said, I don't think this is right. I think we ought to do that. You know, and he not talking confident, not really knowing what he's talking about. What impression would that bring upon that jury? Well, I'll tell you what it'll bring upon him. It's like if he's representing a client, it's like, get the rope out now. Best to hang the lawyer. It'd be best to hang him if you could. That would be the right thing to do. But see that boldness. See, when you and I come, that's why God says come boldly. That's why he says, I'm looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He's looking for somebody to put up a wall. He's looking for somebody to stop and say, God, we ain't going no further than this. If you can't pray like that ever, I'm going to tell you what, you just ain't going to ever get much done. You ain't ever going to be the one who stands up and say, hey, this ain't going no further than this. Kenneth E. Hagin said about concerning the devil. He said about standing up in the face of the devil and say, devil, you ain't going no further than this. This is it. You're stopped right here. See, we got to know, because we got a people of authority. We got to be people who stand up. You know, we're called kings and priests, and it's for a purpose. We've got to start acting like kings and priests. We must need to start acting in this way if we want to see the glory of God move. Now, I shared you those things, and there's some other things I want to share with you, which really, Mike spoke to me about a gentleman, and I hadn't heard of his name for a long time. His name is Dr. Gary Wood. And back in 1966, he was in a car and hit the back end of a tractor with a truck that was sitting on the side of a road, and he hit the back of it, and he was killed. And he went up to heaven, and anyhow, in heaven, there's a bunch of things that Jesus, you know, revealed to him, talked to him. Ended up, Jesus sent him back, and he's out, he preaches today. But he talked about some things that the Lord spoke to him, and really, it fits in line with what God is moving right now concerning prayer, is moving in these areas. Anyhow, he said there's three things that will mark Jesus' return. There's three things that are going to mark his return. Now, if it depends on which group you'd listen to, most people think, well, you're going to see a lot of judgment. You're going to see a lot of... The first thing that Jesus told him that would mark the return of the Lord, he said, a spirit of restoration. A spirit of restoration. Now, I want to hear what he said about this, because you got to get this. He said, payday for the church, payback for the devil. payday for the church, payback for the devil. He said, great transfer of finances to the church. Now let me say this. If you don't respond in faith toward these, it won't happen. I don't care how much it's been said. I don't care how much God said He wants it to happen. It won't happen to us unless we believe that that's what God wants to do right now. Start talking to God like He wants to do it. Start speaking in our lives like He wants to do it. There's not going to be a great transfer to anybody who's saying they have a fixed income. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to. It won't happen to you. It won't happen to anybody that says, well, I'll tell you, my just employer won't be griping about their employer and what he's doing. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to Dr. Gary Wood talked about, he was at a church up here in western Pennsylvania. A church had, about 35 people. They're all millionaires. You know why? Because they found gas on all their properties and now they're worth a fortune. People sitting around. But see, they weren't, like he said, they weren't down the mouth, poor, you know, talking dumb stuff. You see, we need to, God wants to restore things. He wants to restore people. We've had a lot of things going on. I'm going to read some things to you, then I'll read you some things from Randall Greer just had sent out, because they tie into what we're doing. He's now, the number two thing he said that was going to mark Jesus' return, he said, a spirit of prayer. Here again, that's not going to be something that overtakes you. You got to respond to it by faith. Do you believe there's a spirit of prayer that God's moving in right now? Well, that means you're going to have to respond to God in prayer. Or if you don't, it ain't going to be all of a sudden, I just want to pray a lot. You may have a desire to pray. It could be in your heart to pray, but you can ignore it. You got to respond to it. You have to respond to it. But he said, this is the thing that's going to mark. See, right now, and especially the people I've listened to and things, people I know spiritually, what's going on and things and know what's happening, that right now is a thing that's becoming emphasis. That's why the Lord told me to start to talk about prayer. To come out and talk about prayer, because that's a direction He's moving. That's a thing He's moving into. And I'm just telling you, now we have a choice. We either respond to it or we don't. But I don't care how much He said it, if we must respond to it. Is this what God's saying, or do you think He's just saying, well, go on a picnic and don't matter, you know? Well, you know, Jesus is coming back and everything's going to be all right, don't matter what we do. You know, we're just all going to go to heaven. We have a choice. See, this is one thing that we need to understand is in the Scriptures, when the prophets spoke, people were responsible to walk in faith with it. We see Moses before God based on God said something, but God wanted to destroy the people. But it wasn't until Moses stood up and said, hey, hold it. Your word says this about what you do. The word said about you being merciful, and you said you were going to bring these people out, and this is what you're going to... And he brings that to him. And it wasn't until he did it, until somebody stood in faith before God. Doesn't matter what God says He wants to do. God is not in authority in the earth no further than the church allows Him to operate in authority. Well, the day will come, Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I'll tell you what, that ain't going to be a pretty sight when He shows up. But you know, He might be our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but it might be our words only. And not allowing Him to be. See, we must allow Him to be. Hallelujah. We want more words? Then he made this statement. Number three. The number three things that the Lord told him is an outburst of miracles. An outburst of miracles. An outburst of miracles. See, we need to begin to speak. You know, Kenneth Hagin. 1950. The Lord told him, you're living in the days of the miraculous. See, God's been trying to get the church to operate in faith in this area. And the church won't. People just keep, well, we're waiting. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm already living in the end days. I'm already here. Hallelujah. I'm already living in the time of the miraculous. I'm already here. Hallelujah. See, people need to respond in faith to it. They don't. They're, well, It'll be down there. It's coming sometime. It'll be way out there. It's out there somewhere. Well, I've been hearing them say that ever since I've been a Christian, and they're still waiting out there for it, and they don't ever have any. I tell you, I've had a number of them. I've seen God move. But you got to get yourself, you got to call it to you. This is what God is doing. See, people don't know the character of God. They're waiting for Him to do, call it faith, but they're really waiting for Him to do something before they're going to believe anything. I'll believe it when I see it. Then I'll say we're in the time of miracles when I see a miracle. But see, these are the things that are marked in this time. These are the things that I can go to God and say, God, I expect these things. God, we're in this day. God, our nation is heading in another direction, but this is what You said You're doing in this time. Hallelujah. I'm going to be joining with You on this time. Lord God, I know we don't deserve a miracle, but hallelujah. Lord, You said You've been waiting for the precious fruit. If You don't bring miracles, we ain't having no fruit. And You're the God of fruit. You're the one that wants it. Hallelujah. You said so. Lord, I know we need judgment. I know, Lord God, we haven't near reap what we need that we have sown that's been terrible. But Lord God, You said You're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. You didn't say, Lord, that You're waiting till You get enough people to kill. And when You're done killing all You can kill, then Jesus will come. No, Lord, You said You're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. You're like the farmer. You're a patient God. Lord, we've missed the mark, but You've still been patient with us. And You'll continue to be patient because You have a plan for the fruit of the earth. Lord, the latter rain ain't done yet. The latter rain ain't done yet. Hallelujah. You said You're waiting for the early and You're waiting for the latter rain. You're waiting for it all. Hallelujah. Here we be, Lord. Hallelujah. See, you learn how to talk to God. Now, you won't leave the prayer closet feeling so low down. Most people, they feel low down when they leave prayer is because they load themselves down by what they've said, by how they prayed. It's coming out of that place and saying, praise God, He's going to move. I've just encouraged myself in the Word. It made me happy. Boy, Lord God, that was a good case, wasn't it? Hallelujah. But I got it from You. He's the lawgiver, ain't He? Hallelujah. He gives you the Holy Ghost to teach you how it works. Glory to God. Why? So we can stand in the presence of God. So you and I can stand and say, hey, Lord, I know we deserve judgment. But I've been reading a lot about Your mercy. I've been reading a lot about Your loving kindness. Hallelujah. Lord God, Israel rejected You and You still healed them. Woo! You're good. Lord God, they hung You on the cross and You died for their sins and You were raised from the dead for their justification. Hallelujah. You didn't say, well, you dirty buggers, you weren't nice to me, so I ain't buying from you. Hallelujah. He didn't do that, did He? Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to bless you so much. Watch it. Hallelujah. There's a nation of people that deserve destruction and God's going to bring them salvation. What do you think He would do when the church stands up? We haven't rejected Him. If His ear would hear the voice of a people who rejected Him, what would He do for a people who have accepted Him? My, 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 my. We got a good God. Hallelujah. We got a good God. We can come to Him. We can come to our God. Hallelujah. I want to read to you this morning. I'm going to read you a little article that some things the Spirit of the Lord has told Randall Greer. And really, these things are in line. These things are in line with now things I've been sharing with you from the Word. Things we hear us talk about Gary Wood, what he said. Dear Randall Greer just put this out. And these things are just, this stuff is the plan of God. This is what God is saying for the time. You can look at it in two different ways. You need to understand it. But I'll tell you what, you need to hear from heaven today. Because if you determine what needs to be done by what you think, I'm going to tell you what, you're in trouble. God's voice. God is trying to move the church into a place. And God's trying to bring us into some things. And if we don't watch it, we can get over here in these areas of and judging by just, you know, we use the word. I mean, you can turn the word into anything you want. But we need to listen to what the Spirit's saying, where God's heart's at. Because when I approach God, I need to approach Him according to where His heart's at. I need to know Him. I need to know what He's going to do, what He's interested in, and what His interests are. Not just my interests. I want to know what His interests are, what He wants to carry out. Because I've learned this over time, that when I can find and hook up and understand His interests, and I start putting His interests out, somehow my interests get fixed, and my interests get fulfilled, and my interests... See, most people, all they're just trying to get stuff. I found this a long time ago. You start hooking up over in His area, and it's amazing how the things will happen to you never asked for. You haven't voiced, but you're moving over in that area and walking in that area. Look at Abraham. We don't have a record of Abraham always asking for stuff. He did pretty good, didn't he? But he would seek God and always give God credit, and he would follow, and he learned to obey God no matter what. God changed his name. He took the name. I'm sure people thought he was ridiculous. Man ain't got no kids, and he's calling himself the father of nations. Dear Lord. He didn't look like he was going to be a God, father of a family, much less a nation. And they called him the father of many nations. And I tell you, he turned out to be every bit of it. Walking around, just saying what God said, and he ended up blessed. He didn't have to run around chasing a blessing. He didn't have to run from meeting to meeting trying to get somebody else to give him something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nothing about going to meetings. I ain't got nothing against that. But many people go for the wrong reasons. Their motives are messed up. It's always about me, 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 me. They don't go to hear what's God saying? What's God saying? What does He want? What does He want? What does He want me to do? No, I'm going to that meeting because of what I want. What I want to do. No, I want to go because of what He wants. Hallelujah. So Randall Greer said, I want to read to you. He started off with a scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:10. He says, "But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God." He said 2012 will be a time that in His presence you shall dwell, and over Satan you shall prevail. The Lord said to me, the year of 2012 will be a time that my people will overcome, and a new race in the Spirit they will run. Just as I spoke at the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Loose him and let him go," I am declaring from heaven, my people are loosed and will move forward in my power in this hour. The prayers of my people have brought this about, and of that fact do not doubt. You see, God's listening to people. Now, I want you to understand this. If we went by what the church world looks at, God would have definitely limited this to a certain group. Of those. See, people have been asking for a move of God. They're looking out on the church world, and the church world's been a mess in America. The church world's been a mess. But God ain't throwing the church out. Glory to God. He's still at work. Why? He's patient. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. See? This is what He's doing. It doesn't surprise me that this said. You know, there's people out here that are just, they're just on the judgment side. They're just, bam, bam, boom, 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 just on the judgment side. That's where they're at. Well, you got to get some things right. You just get one side of the picture. It says, "The spiritual walls of Jericho shall fall, and the promised land shall be possessed. Move forward in faith, relying on my power, mercy, and grace. The walls will fall as you shout in faith. And you shall triumph over the enemy. Do not fear, but demand and command your rights from the devil in Christ Jesus, and you will see the devil flee, and you will walk in supernatural victory." Now, that's what he's saying. Now, understand, what these things the Spirit of the Lord said, but the Spirit of the Lord, see, we have a part. It ain't going to just happen. It ain't going to just happen. See, God's telling us. This, in other words, we have here, this is God's plan. This is what God wants to do for the church in this time. But the church has to respond in faith. The church got to be a church in these last days, a church of the shout. We got to come out from being the church of the wine, the church of the problem, the church of this. We got to be the church of when trouble comes, start shouting and praising God. We not just act like God is God. That's what He's waiting for. He's waiting for a people to rise up to act like He's God. This is not about a people are waiting to see if He'll be God. Hallelujah. God's not, in other words, He's telling us, God is not holding back from us. Satan is interfering. Satan is the one stopping the blessing. We need to oppose him. We need to oppose him. Quit begging God and whining to God about your healing. Stand against the devil. You're talking to the wrong person. You're talking to God about your healing, you missed it. He already gave it to you. You missed it. The only thing you should be doing about him is going, "Woo! Thank you for giving me healing. Hallelujah. Devil, get your hand off my body in Jesus' name. I command you to stop right now." See, really, this we've been talking about this patient. It's about fruit. Hallelujah. Keep saying the right thing. Keep doing the right thing. Quit asking God why He's holding back. God, why isn't this happening? God, that's why it ain't happening. You're acting like it ain't happening. Don't be surprised it ain't happening. Glory to God. The devil's the one that's been stealing and killing from us. Jesus was right. It's the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." Is Jesus holding back on the life? You see, we can't approach God with a boldness and confidence when we think God's holding out. See, He's telling us right here, His plan, what, is for our supernatural victory. That's the plan of God. That's it. When you talk to God, start talking. We're living in the days of God is talking about supernatural victory. 2012 is our supernatural victory. This is the year of our supernatural victory. This is the year. Hallelujah. This is the year. See, Mike was talking about it getting better. We're just doing... He was talking about this year coming up through. See, that's why it's leading to this year. We should have been practicing. We should have been practicing this year. See, people who don't practice and don't say right, I'll tell you what, you'll at least be till next November till you might be saying it right. If we don't listen to what's said, and just sitting around, wait, God said 2012 is going to be really great. Well, I don't know, nothing happened for me. He said about 11, what would you? Well, nothing good happened. Well, lots of good happened to me. Lots of good happened to me. Why? Because, well, it had to come to me. I believe in it. Hallelujah. Good follows me all the days of my life. Dear Lord, I can run as fast as I can and it just overtakes me. Glory to God. Runs me right down, tackles me. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. Glory to God. See, I believe it. Did say anything bad happen to you this year, this past year? Sure enough, but we didn't discuss that one. We're discussing the good that overtakes me. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. His mercy is a following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His mercy. His mercy. We could use the term that mercy. I mean the word compassion. His compassion is always following after me. Woo! Glory to God. Don't preach me happy. Hallelujah. Well, then Randall Greer went on about what many experienced, he said, in 2011. Now, he's going to talk about what we experienced, but I don't mean we should be down in the mouth and grumbling, but listen to what he said. He said, "But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil." That's Ephesians 6:11. He said, "Many have experienced thoughts and feelings of fear, dismay, sorrow, helplessness, and even thoughts of just giving up." He said, "You must understand that those thoughts were sent to you by satanic powers. Satan's strategies have been the same since the Garden of Eden. He impresses your mind with thoughts and ideas that will lead you away from God's Word if you will listen to them. The thoughts he brought to you caused you to have down feelings in your emotional realm. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. He and his demons, spirits, rule in the earth wherever they're allowed to. I really don't believe that Christians purposely permit him to gain an advantage over them or our nation, I just believe some people do not realize how he operates and how he will, how we must take authority over him. Satan can only do what the individual gives him permission to do. If we bind him on the earth in the mighty name of Jesus, he will be bound by heaven. I'll tell you what, I truthfully say, I've never seen oppression on people like it's been this past year. It's been on people. But then on the other hand, I'm amazed how people have not resisted it. Christians, no one. So you know, this past year, I've done teaching about the devil, taking authority and all those things. I did that for a purpose. I did those things because I saw people under oppression. Some people get a hold of it, some don't. Some just stay under the oppression. You got to stand up. See, he's telling us here, we're being told this is what's happening, why it took place. It wasn't God bringing anything bad. It wasn't God doing something. It's the devil. These spirits, they want us to go, you know, go someplace and croak, you know. Sit on a wine, just go die somewhere. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to keep us over in the area that we're a failure, we're not going to succeed. He wants to keep us over there. We got to get in line with the Lord. You've got to know who your enemy is. People are crying out to God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. He's waiting for the church to act like they're delivered. Why would I be asking God to deliver me? I thought I was when I got born again. I was delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His Son. That's what the Word says. Satan is our trouble. Hallelujah, not God. Now, he goes on to say, victory is yours now and in 2012. It's now. It's not going to be. You don't have to wait till 2012. It's now. You already got it. He says, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. That's Matthew 17:20. Says, there is no demonic power that can stop the born-again believer who acts upon the Word of God in faith. There is no problem, situation, or mountain that can stand in their way and stop them. Mustard seed faith is all that is required. You already have the faith you need. If it is put into action, you must release your faith by speaking to your mountain or your problem. See, we're instructed what to do. We're instructed our part. See, we need to do it. We keep going and asking God to do things. God to do this. God to do that. And we wonder, why ain't it working? It's not about us going, it's about us. Hallelujah. Then he goes on, he says, the natural and the supernatural correction continues. He said in 2012, he said, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And that's Hebrews 12 and 20, 26 and 27. It said, a spirit of fear and panic has hit Wall Street and our federal and state governments, and the whole worldwide economy. There are adjustments that must be made. This correction or shaking that is going on is in our natural world, but there is also a spiritual correction that is taking place in the church world. The correction began in the natural realm in February of 2000, in the fall of 2008. It said in the church in September 2010. He said the reason for this is that things are out of God's order in the natural and the spiritual world. The wrong plans were being carried out in the financial, natural realm by people with wrong motives. This is one of the things is we need to understand this is when it comes to about praying about things and moving in the right direction. We need to be listening to what God is speaking and God is revealing through people, because God is telling, you know, over time, God began to speak things that if you look back at different ministers and different ones that are reputable, the things that they were talking about, God was trying to correct some of this stuff coming up from time past. But people just go on their religious way, just having their, they got their nice little prayer list, they got their nice little stuff that they're doing, and they just go along with it. You need, if the Spirit of God does not control your prayer life, You're just religious. Now, I'm just saying that. You're just religious. We need to know the direction that heaven's going. We need, number one, when I know the directions heaven's going, you want to keep your motives right? It'll keep your motives right. It'll keep your motives right. You need to know what heaven is interested in and what heaven's trying to accomplish. If we get heaven's will done, it blesses me. It blesses you. And see, people don't, God's moving in one direction, and people are just basically, well, they're just following their same old religious tradition and following things. He said, there are those in the church world, spiritual realm, who are operating the same way. The wrong plans are being instituted by people who are not being led by the Spirit of God, and it is hindering what God, what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do. Those people who are not being led by the Spirit of God will come to an end, just like those in control of the financial realm came to an end. Out of the correction, there will arise a church filled with the glory and power of God. That is what the Lord told me. In light of these facts, we need to pray for those in authority and government, that the leaders in the and the leaders of the body of Christ, as well as believers. You see, God has a plan. See, God is one of the things that's moving into this thing, is getting over in the areas of prayer, in moving in these. We need to, when the church world needs to get their focus in their prayer life off of themselves. Off of themselves. You know, we were told, and I was taught to pray, Kenneth E. Hagin, and they told us, you know, how you pray the prayer of faith for yourself and things. You know, it's really as baby Christians, we were taught in those things. But you know, people got over to them, and people never developed beyond that in their prayer lives. Their prayer lives were always about what they wanted. What they wanted. You know, that's babyhood. You know, that's babyhood stuff. We need to have vision beyond us. This is one of our, I'm going to tell you what, you cannot get out from under oppression. You cannot get out from under depression. You can't get out from under really a rock if it's on top of you unless you get a vision beyond you. You have to have more about accomplishing in your life than you. This is one of the things that we've heard is America. America set themselves up a system, and all you do is you just work in this land is just get yourself enough money so you can retire and relax. And I'm going to tell you what, that ain't the vision of God. It's not the vision. Nothing matter with having money. There's nothing matter with so-called retirement. But I tell you, you got to have a vision greater than what you are. And you got to keep it. Or you know what? You become a burden on society. That's all you're going to be, is a burden on society. See, we have to, folks. We have to have more. We have to have something greater than us. We have to see the need of something else as something greater. You know, I've watched this. You know, I was just listening yesterday in as a car while I was going running some errands, and I was listening to a thing of this CEO of one of these toy manufacturers. I forget which one it was. He was talking about, I mean, their company, their family has run the company. He turned the company over. He said he didn't have anybody else in the family that wants to do the company anymore. He is CEO for like 30-some years himself. His dad started the company. And, you know, there are tons and tons of money. I mean, this guy's got bucks. But there's one guy, another guy that's worked in the company for 30-some years, and he turned him over and gave him CEO. He said, because he said, I want to focus my time. There's a lot of good things that he said I can do. He said, right now I'm really interested in children and helping children. And he said, we've been really working. He said, I've become an advocate for children now. I mean, this guy's doing more than what he... See, I want to tell you what, that's what makes millionaires. That's why a lot of people, you can't be millionaires, because they earn money for themselves. This guy said, I can't keep being CEO and fulfill my heart's desire of this. I can't be a CEO and do this. I can't be tied up in this guy. I got enough money out of the company. I'm going to go out here. I want to spend my time. I want to go do this. And he's talking about all the stuff he's doing. All the things that he's accomplished. See, people are... The world, our world system is... It's this little tiny focus. And there's just two letters. It has me on it. And they think that that's what God's doing. My God, I can't find in the Bible where he was focused on him as saying me. His vision was always out beyond what he could do for somebody else, or what he could do for something else. And see, you know, our look and our future is one of the things. We got to start seeing ourselves productive. Who cares about long life? You can't gonna have a long life with the word me out in front of you. You can stand there and confess long life all you want, but if it's just about me, it don't matter. That'll shorten your life. That won't make it longer. It's getting that vision out there of seeing that there's things that are more important than us. There's things that are more important than us. You know, when I started off in Christianity, I was very much like like a little kid in the same sense as when a child grows up. You know, at first I started off just seeing me. But you know, I was just trying to learn how to walk, get up. You know, I tell you what, I'd have focused every bit of faith I could just to get me taken care of. But I'll tell you what, if your faith is always over in me, I'll tell you this, you've never grown up. You never don't have enough faith to do something for somebody else. Woo! Good preaching, Ed! That's what faith is about, developing and growing, so I ain't just carrying me. I'm not just carrying me. See, this American Christianity that comes from American culture, we drug the me generation of the 1960s. We drug it right into the church, and it's our gospel today. You know what? I'm important to God, but I'll tell you what, I'm not real important in my own eyes. And I ain't supposed to be. You're not supposed to be important in your own eyes. I'm important to God. I know that part. I know it. But in my own eyes, there are things that are greater than Ed Gibson. You know, it's just like any part of anything. You know, if one part of my car is more important than all the rest, and we take care of that and ignore the other ones, I'm going to tell you, after a while, I'll be walking. I'll be walking. See, we need to take on and understand. In this body, you need to see others is more important. You need to see their worth. You need to understand theirs. You need to understand their part. You need to understand when one part of the body hurts, they all hurt. We don't see it that way. Look, the children of Israel, two guys have to wait 40 years because the rest of the bunch won't walk with God. I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of people who have walked by faith and are hindered constantly by the people who will not. Self-centered Christianity in America has kept, they're saying that all this they want from God, all this stuff, but they're the reason it don't work. They're the reason it don't go nowhere. It's because it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about what I have. It's all about what I can get. No, it isn't. Hallelujah. God blesses me, does wonderful things. Hallelujah. I know how to do that. But I'll tell you what, I want others blessed. It ain't going to go far with Ed if others don't get blessed. Now think about this. If others don't get blessed, who's God going to get money from to give to me that I want? I mean, just think about it. I mean, I got, and you know what? They got to get it first. So I'm just believing God, you get it. To me, to put me first is absolutely stupid. It's like a man starting a business and he wants his paycheck right away. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You won't want to go into business. I mean, you'll be shutting down quick. It's like the farmer. We're talking about he has to wait patiently. There's fruit to be had. Hallelujah. He's not spending his money on himself. He went and bought seed. He put it into the ground. Went and turned around and stuck what he paid good money for and put it in the ground. Dear Lord, stuck it in the ground. See, most people today would say, no, we can't do that. We got to eat it. No, that's our food. We got to eat that. We ain't going to plant. No, we're not going to plant it down there and stick it in the... No. We got to eat that. I'll tell you what. I can't afford to miss a meal. You know, I might miss one. I got to think of me first. Farmer does. The farmer goes out there and he takes his investment and he sticks it in the ground. Now, look from a natural perspective. What could seem to be more uncertain? We live in a day and time of uncertainty concerning the weather conditions and things that are going on, and farmers are still putting their seed in the ground. And most people ain't got as much faith as a farmer. They don't want to invest in a thing or put nothing into nothing. They are waiting for somebody else to give them something. They're waiting for somebody else to invest. Then you go invest and start a business. Now you owe me a livelihood. Woo! It's good preaching, I tell you. Hallelujah. You owe me something. But you see, if you don't watch yourself, this selfishness enters in. This self, you don't want, you want to stop, because that is the killer of the blessing. See, when I'm operating ordinary, I'm not walking in love. See, I had to learn, I've told you guys the stories. I had to learn to walk in love and quit complaining about my employer when I was out in Tulsa, out in Bible school, and because he wouldn't give me a raise. Now, I deserved a raise. He was holding back, but you know what? God required me to walk in love with it. God wouldn't allow me to quit till I got my attitude straight. When I got my attitude straight, then he said, you can leave here. And he blessed me good. He blessed me big. But he did see, I had to get right. It wasn't about that man getting right. It was about Ed Gibson getting right. Because I'm in control of my blessing. He wasn't. I was in control of my blessing. And God was not saying, Ed, you knucklehead, you don't deserve nothing, you do stupid stuff. God was patient. He was waiting for some fruit. And he patiently waited for me to get right. He told me what to do, began to move me in the right direction. Why? So he could say, oh, here you go, dummy. You know, get back. No. So he could bless me big. He had me move in line. See, if you go over and you look at the correction that Paul gave the church at Corinth, when he told them, they weren't walking in love. They weren't walking in love concerning their brothers and sisters. They weren't considering them more highly than themselves. They were having communion services, bringing food just for themselves. They were doing this thing, getting out there. And he said, many of you are weak and many even sick die prematurely. Why? Self-centered things. Self-centered. I remember when I first read that stuff, I thought, dear God, boy, whew. We have got that stuff going on. No wonder there's so much sickness. Self-centered. I come first. I'm first on the list. People say, not concerned about the other person. You know? Over the years, going to churches and stuff and things, and, you know, it always cracks me up, you know, as people, as you know, and we'd have, you know, in different churches and stuff we were in, and they would have, like, say, covered dishes. And you always get these people in there. They're always worried about, you know, I don't want to have all this stuff to bring. And they bring a little dish. You know, always about them. But, you know, they're the biggest pigs when it comes to eating everybody else's food. And you know what? Those people, and I would tell you, I've noticed this thing. Now, you see, people look at all what they call big things in life, you know. I've seen people who did other things that the Christians would think were big things would cause problems, did near cause of problems than those people had. They could never really get blessed from God. Why? Because, you know, with me, I would look at the fact of, well, to me, it isn't what I want to eat and how much I want to put out or what to do. I'll bring enough food for, you know, a bunch of people. It's not about my share. Why? Because I want people to be blessed. You know, one of the things that Gary Wood told about this church up in Pennsylvania, a church of 35 people, they would once a year feed the entire community, invite the whole town and have a picnic and pay for everything for the whole town. But you think, now you think about this, this is what they do. You see, they're thinking about themselves. I mean, somebody that can't only worry about how much they have to bring to a dinner for people. Well, this is enough for us. This is enough for us. See, there's that word on them called ME. And you know what? They will never go any further than that. They'll never have anything. Their vision isn't beyond that. No, it's like, let's put something out there. Let's do something. Let's do something. Somebody else is more important. You know, number one, I'm glad I came out of a family. It was like that. See, I was fortunate to be raised in a family that my parents were like that. My parents did look at the need and think that, you know, if somebody was going to make something to eat, well, you just made enough for everybody's brother. You just did it. You didn't worry about what the other guy was going to bring because, you know, you always knew there was somebody who wasn't going to bring something because you always had relatives who would show up, you know, with a can of beans. You know, and they were just, that's what their thing was going to be. So, you know, but you know what? Never did you hear a grapper complain. They didn't care how much they had to cook or what they had to do to make. They went and did it. There's one thing as I can say. You know, they didn't know about the Spirit-filled life. They didn't know about the speaking in tongues, but they sure got blessed in their old age. They were blessed in their old age. They had more than enough money to do the things that they wanted and things like that. And my dad never had a job that up to, for how many years, hardly ever getting what people call minimum wage. He didn't earn very much money at all. But you know what? In those areas, they were kind to people, good to people, doing those things. See, people, this is one of the things that we're too busy at today. We're too busy. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, being good to people and doing stuff and your brethren and stuff. People don't do that today. I'm too busy. I don't have time for the brethren. Oh, good preaching. I'll tell you what I had behind the pulpit here. Everybody's, I'm going to get shot at here. Well, folks, we're saying these things. It's not to criticize, but it's to let us know we're moving in an area. God has a plan. God has a plan. And if we, like with, if I hold this ways of thinking, I won't see out beyond into that plan. And God wants us to reach out there. Why? It's going to bless our lives. It brings blessing to others, but it brings the blessing to our lives. See, you can't have one person in the body be blessed. The true blessing comes when more and more are blessed. And more, and the blessing, and the blessing, and the blessing. That's what makes this thing really blessed. That's what makes this thing really become something great. And that's what we want. That's what we want. We look out here, we pray for a nation because God is waiting for the fruit of the earth. God is waiting for people out here that haven't come into the kingdom yet. And God is going to give another round, another call. He's not quitting. That call is going to take money. That call is going to take things. It's going to take our time if we're too busy. You know what? Here's one of the things. If you don't know how and to step in and get the money, you're going to be too busy. Because you're going to be busy working just trying to feed yourself. I'm telling you, you're just going to be too busy. You ain't going to be able to do it. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to get out of that thinking right now. You've got to get out of that thinking. You've got to come out from that place. You've got to come out from that, well, I'm just stuck here in this job and this is what I got to do and this is what, you've got to come out of that place. And you don't. Well, I've got to stay here till I get my retirement. Well, good luck. You might miss the whole plan of God. You can't have those kind of things, and number one, because you know you might you know do whatever you can to get $1,000 a month when God's trying to give you $2 million. But we're sticking for the $1,000. I know I can get that if I can. You got to think. I ain't telling you to go ahead and leave your job, but I'm telling you, you change the way you think. If God's called you, you need to have it on your voice and say, God, if you want me to leave this, I'll leave it. If you ain't ever said that to God, you've never been in faith yet. You've never been in faith yet. You ain't ever said it. Faith was never put out there. It can't produce a thing. It can't do nothing. Say, God, if you want me to, whatever you want me to do. God, I'm setting myself in a direction. God, I'm living in the time of your great blessing. And you said you're going to dump a bunch on us. Hallelujah. I believe a bunch is a-coming. See, I can't look as the bunch has to be in the business that I'm in or the business or what I'm doing. I can't be looking that way because if I look that way, I'll minimize my faith. Well, all of a sudden the government's going to get rich and give us a lot of money. Yeah, well, they're going to have to take it from somebody else to do it. They're going to have to thieve somebody else. God wants to bless. God will bring blessing, and God will bring blessing in even in the heathen that will come to the righteous. See, we want to flow. We got to do this. We got to get ourselves over and get our thinking right. Start to say the right things. Start to, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, send me. Now we got to be like, here I am, Lord, send me. You know, it's, Lord, here I am, send Mike. See, you got to get that me out of the thing where, you know, I've got to protect that me. And they're saying, God, I just need to be fulfilled in my life. I just need more of this. I need more of that. And the whole time he's trying to move that way. But that's the way we stay away from it. Because why? Change. Oh my God, I might have to lay something down. We think we're going to lay something down. Nobody ever laid anything down for God that didn't pick up something better. You know? I have never met anybody who ever gave a car away, God told them to, that they didn't get a nicer car than what they gave away. Never saw that ever happen. Never saw it happen. I never turned around and put money in the offering and only got back what I got out of the offering. God always gives you something better. God always gives you something better. And see, that's the mentality we have to put on things. We got to put on that. There's nothing I can lay down. There's nothing that God couldn't tell me to do that if I did it, it wouldn't be for the greater benefit. It'll benefit others because I'm obeying God. When you obey God, it's a benefit to other people. When you obey God, you're benefiting other people. You know, look at that. I mean, the day God told me to go to Rhema, had I not gone to Rhema, do you think some of you would be hearing what you heard today? Had I not obeyed? You may not. You may not. You see, people have heard because obedience. Somebody obeys something. Why? The gift of God in me wasn't for me. My teaching gift ain't for me. It's for people. You know, I didn't move to Rhema for me. I didn't move to Rhema for me. I didn't go out there and move out there for me. That wasn't for me. God told me to do that. Why? Because of the gift in me. What he's called me to do, to reach people, to teach people. That's what he wanted me to do. See, you need to understand that. See, the whole time, I'm sowing. I sowed, and I sowed, and I sowed, and I sowed. I sowed my time. I sowed me. I sowed my family. I sowed, and I sowed. But you do. But believe me, I ain't complaining. I've been benefiting the whole time. I've been benefiting the whole time. And I'll tell you what. I'll just be honest about it. I get the best benefit. I do. I get the best out of it. I get the best out of it. Hallelujah. You know, I hear these messages before you do. I'm just trying to encourage you. There's a place for us to walk in a blessing in these last days. See, 2012, I'll tell you, let's make it the glory. Let's make it the year of our victory. Let's make it the year. I'm going to tell you, for the overcoming church. Not overcoming me, but the overcoming church. I tell you, the believers are going to rise up this year, 2012. Hallelujah. A move of God in America. A move of God among the church. Believers rising up. Hallelujah. Who know their God. Glory to God. Believers rising up, taking their place. I want to tell you what. Believers rise up. You can't stop this thing. You look in the book of Acts. They tried to stop it. The believers rose up. It don't work out well. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, Rome as a nation fell over faithful believers. Hallelujah. You don't oppose the church of Jesus Christ. People that are willing to live for this gospel, people that are willing to live for it, I'm going to tell you what, stand back, devil. You don't want to be joined to the devil fighting against the people that are standing up for Jesus. Because it's not going to work out well. In 2012... we found out, you know, about the devil fleeing and the devil, the things he wants to do. The people are tied to the devil and they just want to keep opposing. It's not going to go well for them. It's not going to go well. So I don't have to worry about them. I don't have to fuss with them. I don't have to fight with them. Their master will do enough killing among their bunch. Their master will do. I don't need to fuss with them and I don't need to fight with them. What we do is put the message out there. We're going to love them no matter what. I don't care. I ain't going to fuss with them. We ain't going there. We ain't going that place. Hallelujah. I'm going to do good no matter if they do. Hallelujah. Because I'm on the road to blessing and so are you. Let's keep our roadway clear. Let's don't get diverted. Let's don't get diverted. You get in the presence of God. I'll tell you what, the things that are coming on the horizon, the things that happen, stay in the face of God. Don't worry about this other stuff and things. You stay in the face of God. I'll tell you what, you're going to hear good news from heaven. God will speak to you about His plans and purposes for you to carry out in His will and what He wants to do for humanity. You won't be looking down in you know, the newspaper and all the things going on. And, you know, I mean, I got the point. I won't even watch these guys bickering over, you know, their office, you know, doing their debates and all this stuff. Because I'll tell you what, it's just, as I sit down and I think about this stuff, I think, God, I need to hear from you on this thing, man. I sit out there and I'm looking and hearing this, and boy, they're all wonderful. They're all going to do the greatest job in the world, and they're all going to do this, and they're all going to do that. But it's sad to say, most of them I have seen already what they have done. And they aren't as good as their words. But I know this, my God is every bit good as His words. My God is. My God is every bit. I don't want to put my trust in men, although we're going to end up electing somebody. But I want to know where God's at and what He wants to do. I want to know where He's in this thing. Because let me say this to you. There's certain things that are on God's agenda that men might do something else. It ain't no big deal compared to what the things God wants to do. You know, we might get over in a thing and just worry about taxes and all that. I'll tell you, that can't be number one thing on our agenda for going to vote. It can't be. That can't be the number one agenda. Because I'm going to tell you what, if they raise taxes, God's just going to have to give me more money, or He's going to see less. So, you know, if He's that dumb, my God ain't dumb. My God ain't dumb. See, I can't put my vote on those, you know, because, you know, having taxes ain't a sin. The Bible tells you we're supposed to give taxes to whom taxes is due. We treat it like it's a moral issue. We're a bunch of idiots. And we put this up high on our agenda for people in office. Whether he's going to raise taxes or lower taxes. We put it way up there. Now, there's nothing to matter. You know, our government overspends. I mean, they do. And I'm going to tell you what, unless we get them all saved, you can't get the devil to stop wanting to do that. You're going to have to, and I tell you what, we got ones of them saved and they still want to raise taxes. They can't ever get spending enough. I was just reading an article yesterday about states here in America. And they were just talking about it again. That they're looking at the amount of spending, and the states are spending, the state governments are spending more money than they did last year, saying they're cutting down. They want to know where. There's more money spent. And they said this is what's happened. Politicians, now this is Democrats and Republicans, so let's get this out of the way. It's not the Democrats. Democrats and Republicans. Cutting a budget means this. You're, instead of spending 20% more, you're going to cut it back and only spend 5% more. That's a cut. Don't knock it, because the Republicans that have already been doing that up in Harrisburg, telling you they're cutting the budget, they have not cut one nickel. They haven't cut a nickel. They didn't spend as much as they'd like to. They consider that a cut. Now, according to God, that's dishonest. That's lying. But according to politics, you can do that. One of the sad things about it is, some of our Christians that have entered public office pick up those habits. You see why things can't change? Because the Christians go in, they can't be practicing that kind of politics stuff. Now, see, that's wrong. That's dishonest. That's dishonest. See, when you say you're going to cut back on your budget, you actually have to cut back on the amount of money that you spend. They don't. They don't. And see, these are the things we have, and this is why. See, if we get into the political battles and into the things on good and bad concerning men, this is one thing, as I know, God knows the hearts of men. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I have to judge that, it's going to be ugly. And I don't want to go there because I tell you what it'll make me. It'll make me hate these people. I won't pray for them. I hate them. I don't want to go there. I can't go there. And you can't go there either. You can't go there. Why? Because it'll affect the blessing of God on you. If it hurts you, it's going to hurt others within the body. It's going to hurt people in general. This is why we want 2012 not to be this fuss and fight up to the presidential elections, folks. We don't want this. Now, it will go on. It's going to happen. But we don't have to enter into it. Let's be like the farmer would. Let's be patient. Let's be patient. We don't have to figure out, you know, we get over in our mindset that, well, you know, the primaries are coming up and we got to get a guy picked and all this stuff. I'll tell you what. If we get God in this thing, we could have a guy come in the last minute and run and ended up winning and not even with either party. But see, if our fixed and our mind is this, God can only operate within our political system. And so we have to, the Democrat or the Republican, and we do that. But see, we've done that by our prayer lives. We have limited God instead of finding the mind of God. Let's not limit God bringing somebody on the scene. Do you notice how things are getting shaken up? How things are, one guy's popular, all of a sudden, bang, the bottom falls out of him. Another guy, guys that they said were totally out or in. I mean, this is nuts back and forth. I'm going to tell you what, I think we're going to see a lot of changes. I think things are getting downright shook up. And you know what? People, if you're uncomfortable with that, I'm going to say this, then you don't know God. You don't know how God's working. I'm not uncomfortable. I see this going up and down. I think, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. You know, hallelujah. The Bible said it was going to be. Things are being shaken. See, God wants us to move in the areas of faith. He wants us to begin to trust Him. He wants us to look to Him. Trust Him with this thing. Can I trust Him if He shows me who He wants? Can He trust me even though it looks silly to me? It don't look like the thing. Can He trust me? See, I want to be there where I can look at God and say, hey, you know, God, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to do what you want, no matter what it looks like to me. No matter what it looks like. You know, He might bring up a son nobody that nobody really knows. He could do that. And if God's moving, God could bring him to the top. God can raise him up and take him down if there's a people who will let Him do it. And I believe we can. I believe in these last days we have a church of Jesus Christ. There's enough people in the church of Jesus Christ that knows God that can do that. I believe we can hook up with God so He can set up whom He wants and bring down who He wants. Hallelujah. I believe that's our God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You this morning, Lord. Lord, I want to thank You for Your Spirit that's speaking to us. Your Spirit that is putting things into us, Lord God. You're moving us in a direction here, Lord God. And Father, we're just hooking up for You, Lord God. Lord, we have to trust You in this. We have to trust You in these things, Lord God, because there's so many vital things that, Lord God, that You're moving into and so many things that You want to accomplish and do. And Lord God, our desire is not to be a hindrance to what Your plans and Your purposes are. Lord God, I want to thank You that You still have a heart for America, because there's people in this land, the people. You love people. And in every nation of this earth, Lord God, You're looking into it and You see people. You see a harvest, hallelujah, of people, Lord God, in this last days. And Lord God, I pray for wisdom. I pray for understanding, Lord God, concerning Your purpose and Your plans, Lord God. Lord God, I want wisdom, Lord God, to know in the direction. I don't want to do anything that would hinder Your harvest or Your plans on bringing people into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And so I thank You, Lord God. I thank You, Father God, Your plan, Lord God, is to raise the church up in these last days. And Lord God, that the church truly would be that city on a hill. Hallelujah. To this nation again. And Father, we know there's people that are rising up and people have risen up and who always will rise up. But I thank You, Father God, there's many people out here that are searching for answers. There's many people that are longing for something true. They're longing to know a God. They're longing and seeking after, Lord God. And Father God, they want to know a real God. They want to know a God who's a deliverer, a God who's a true salvation, a God who will heal them, a God who loves their children, a God who helps them, is not stealing from them. Hallelujah. Father God, they want a solid hope for their future. And I want to thank you. You're the one. You're the one, Lord God. Father, I pray as just as the church prayed in the book of Acts, Lord God, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we want a spirit of boldness to speak the word. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would reach out your hand to heal them, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you that we are in the days of the miraculous. And Lord God, I want to thank you for outbursts of miracles. Hallelujah. That we're living in the days of outbursts of miracles in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we're moving into that time and into that place, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for restoration. Father God, there's much that needs to be restored. Lord God, things in people's personal lives. Lord God, family. Hallelujah. Lord God, whatever those things that you're restoring, people need restoration in the areas of their finances. Lord, people need it in the areas of their mentality. Father God, Father, their way they're thinking and the way they're going. I want to thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you are moving, Lord God, to restore. Hallelujah. You're not tearing down, but you're building up. Hallelujah. Building up. Hallelujah. Building up the church. Building up people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for not holding things against us. I want to thank you. You truly are the God that forgives our sins and you don't remember our iniquities anymore. Hallelujah! I thank you so much for it. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, that you have a place and a call that you put on this nation. And Lord God, we've heard over time, Lord God, and men have spoken and the things that people have written. And Lord God, our leaders of the past that you have spoken to and they have, Lord God, passed on the information that you gave them, Father God, concerning your plans for America. And Lord God, I want to thank you. The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Father, I want to thank you that that call is still on America today, that call is on our nation, that you have not given up, you have not quit. Hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God. I know that their words of the past and those ones who have spoken, they're not lies. What they're saying is true. Father, I know in my heart, Father, concerning this land. And Father, I want to thank you for rising up again in this land again. I thank you, Father God, for the latter rain pouring out upon the harvest in this land, Lord God, to bringing the fruit to fruition in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the demonstrations of signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And miracles, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Where your grace, your compassion, your mercy, and great love. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, flows across this land, churns and changes the hearts of men. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your compassion upon us again. Lord God, Lord, I'm not going to say to you, God bless America. But Lord God, I'm saying this to you. God, have compassion on us. Have mercy on us, Lord God. Show your grace and your kindness again to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we do not ask it because of any works that we've done, anything we've done to deserve any good thing, Father God. Father, we're throwing ourselves totally on your great grace, over on your mercy and on your compassion. And on that alone, Lord God, hallelujah, will you not again move? Hallelujah. Will you not again send forth your hand? Hallelujah. To heal, and its signs and wonders are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That again, Lord God, your spirit will move mightily. Hallelujah. Father God, the God of great compassion, the God of great mercy. You're not the God who sends men to hell. You're the God that redeems men from hell. Hallelujah. You're not the God who destroys mankind, but you're the God who saved mankind through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's who you are. And that's who you will be. And you change not. Hallelujah. You change not. Glory to God. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that we have you to stand before, that we can come boldly into your presence. Because, Lord God, we can't call upon anybody else. There's no man that could do. There's nobody, there's no group, Lord God, that could do what you can do. And you alone, Lord God, will we trust. You alone, we set our heart's desire. You're perfect, hallelujah. You've never made a mistake. You've never done anything wrong, hallelujah. You've never lied. You've never done anything that it was ever false or untrue. And Lord God, we can count on you as we look, Lord God, and men count on the sun to rise in the morning. More than that, we can count on you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For eternity stands. For the earth as it is will not stand. But forever you will stand, Lord God. And forever your graciousness and your mercy and your kindness will be extended toward man. We thank you for it, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for listening to us. Thank you for responding to us. Thank you for being so loving and kind to us. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.